Hi, and welcome back to the Business News Hour. Anthony Carroll is the Associate State Director of Advocacy for AARP Iowa. That means he's into public policy deeply. We sat down and asked him right away if AARP works in a partisan manner.
We've been, since our history of our, for instance, voter engagement, voter education, 32 years of participation in voter activities, if you will. But I think one of the things we always like to remind and clarify is AARP does not have a political action committee, a PAC. We don't give money to candidates. We don't even endorse candidates. That's not something – by the way, that's not new. That's been consistent.
It's forever.
So, yeah. I think now – we're pretty vocally out there. I always say we endorse issues, not candidates. So not surprisingly, when you're talking about the federal level, we're concerned and going to be talking about Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, caregiving and prescription drugs, all those kind of gamut of issues that I think everyone would understand why we're talking about that. We do that certainly through the election cycle and then throughout the year. So we are a political organization, but we are nonpartisan. And we do not endorse candidates.
Well, I would suspect if people are listening to those things that you were just ticking off there, we're visiting with Anthony Carroll, ladies and gentlemen. If people are listening to those things, they would, I would assume, go, gosh, those sound like common sense issues that I could support.
Well, that's part of our expectation. That's the why. You know, there's an expectation of our 370,000 members in Iowa that are, that frankly are members of the Democratic Party, Republican Party, and increasingly no party. So our membership represents the broader electorate of Iowa. So there's that expectation, if you will, that first of all, we try to work on consensus issues. The data shows what you talk to your neighbor, your friend. Those are consensus issues. Now, what to do about those issues? How do we make sure, for instance, we update Social Security to make sure it continues to be there, not just for current recipients, but future generations? The pathways to get there might be divergent, but there's a shared value that these programs work, and for your kids and grandkids, you want them to continue to be there. So it's absolutely correct they are popular across the spectrum. They're popular with their membership, and there's an expectation that we work on those issues.
All right, let's talk about the older voter, if you will. Individuals 55 plus, I suspect, who are pretty much concerned with all of the things that you talk about. Are they voting, and how does AARP reach out to get them involved even more so in the voting process?
Well, that's a great question. That really kind of two parts to that. Not surprisingly, I think people know, it's common knowledge, that older Iowans, older Americans vote in larger percentages,
right,
much larger than younger people. And could have that discussion, how do we get young people to vote? We say, yes, they should. But yes, it is, for instance, 90% of registered voters, 50-plus, voted in the 2016 election. So that's a very high participation rate.
Sure.
But we like to look at areas where you can improve, because if you look at the 2014 election,
sure, midterm,
the last midterm, exactly,
mm-hmm,
there was only a 75%
really?
Participation. Still high, 75% is pretty good, but that's a 15% point drop-off. So there's more that can be done. I think that surprises people. There's just kind of this given, well, we're older voters, we vote. Well, it's true, but we can do better. So we're really trying to do our part this cycle in this midterm to really maximize participation. And by the way, that drop-off, that 15%
mm-hmm
point drop-off is even higher. That drop-off alone is higher than the total population of the band, if you will, of millennial voters in that 2014.
That's amazing, so, Anthony, because when we take a look at that. Now, one of the okay, I'm getting ahead of myself here. I've got so many things to ask you. When we take a look at a 15% drop-off in the midterms, is that because people don't think that it matters as much as the presidential election? But conversely, the midterms really is for Iowa where things really matter, I would think.
Yeah. I that's certainly true. I think you always start with what's, again, I'm not, don't pretend to be an election expert, but there is a certain sense, common sense, that it does have currently on any big issue, whether you're talking about Social Security, mm-hmm, Medicare, any big overhaul, it starts with presidential leadership. So I think, you know, Americans and Iowans connect with that point too. It's really important to have, you know, a sense of participate in who's going to be the top leader on it. Mm-hmm. So that's it starts there. But as you also point out, Michael, you know, those decision points on, frankly, second part of a presidential term, even if you want to think in that terms, can be as consequential as even the first couple of years anyway. So the consequences are as high, if not higher, if you will, on setting whether, again, you support the president or you'd like to see, you know, some changes. Or there's really that need to participate in our election. And that our overarching theme is, especially if you care about these programs, there are proposals continuing to be surfaced related to these programs that we want people to tune in. And what we're trying to do is, again, not endorsing candidates, not saying you should go vote for any candidate or another, but we really want to make sure that Iowans understand some of the new election laws we have here. So eliminate any potential hurdles or even mental hurdles on, well, it might be harder to vote, really overcoming that, really spreading the word about the new election law changes here in Iowa.
And so there are several.
Yes.
You know, early voting has been cut back. You have to show some type of ID. It was really interesting. The last election that I voted in, I went in, and the guy says, "Oh, hi, Michael. How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing fine." He says, "Can I see your ID?" So you just, you know, because it's the same poll watcher that I've seen for years.
That's right.
But that's what they have to do.
They have to do that. That's right. One of the things, this is the first year, if you will, of, and it's called the soft launch, Lena. I'll explain soft launch, what that means. But this year on both primary, and by the way, we're here in May. We're going to be out around the state really ramping up our voter engagement efforts earlier, pre-primary, because there's some big primaries, both in the congressional level and the gubernatorial side of things, that we want people to be aware, for instance, that you will need to have a voter ID to vote, both either a driver's license or a set of photo IDs that are current and updated, or bring a mailed voter ID that you should have received. And if you have not received, contact your local county auditor to receive it. So that's a kind of a top line.
That's right.
Make sure everyone has a voter ID when you go to the polls. Now, I've mentioned this as a soft launch. This year, being a soft launch, if you, for instance, do not have it, this year and this year only, 2018, you will have the option to sign an oath and vote a traditional ballot. So you still have the right to do that. But again, we want to be part of the process of encouraging people to not just yourself, but your friends and neighbors, look to see what your driver's license look like. Obviously, if you're an older voter who may not have a driver's license now, you know, get a voter ID, a photo ID, a non-driver's identification. You get that to the DOT, or look in the mail for that voter ID card that you should have got. And if you did not get, contact your auditor to get it. So that's step one on the ID side, yes.
Anthony, when you're going around the state, are people fearful of the fact that they won't be allowed to vote?
Well, I think people have questions. We were just up in, as we're recording this, we were just in Carroll and Ames. We've had people who've already encountered it who want to make sure they get it right.
Yeah.
And then they're also thinking beyond themselves. They think, well, what about my friends or our friends who are in nursing homes? And by the way, if you're in a nursing home assisted living, those rules do not apply to you. I would just classify it as people really want to make sure we get it right. So, yes, there is certainly concern about getting it right and understanding. Again, you know, does my driver's license need to be current? The answer is yes. You have until actually 90 days. You can use a 90 days expired. But on a passport, for instance, needs to be current. A passport cannot be expired. So those are, again, kind of people have questions. We're trying to, again, try to give them some top-line answers, hopefully connect them to their county auditors for even more further answers.
Well, we're talking with Anthony Carroll, ladies and gentlemen. He's the Associate State Director for Iowa's AARP, and we're talking about voting and voter registration and making sure that you get to the polls, voter awareness. And that interesting thing about a 15% drop-off from the presidential election to the midterm. When you're talking to individuals out there about policies that are here in the state of Iowa, what are the top two or three things that you're hearing from your constituency?
Well, health care is one thing. Health care costs, especially if you're someone who's not yet in Medicare age. We have some big challenges in our individual marketplace, so that comes up pretty consistently. Caregiving, anytime we talk about caregiving or if we don't, it comes up. You know, I've been with AARP for 13 years. We've worked on a variety of long-term care issues. People's eyes glaze over, I think, unfortunately, when you think about long-term care, but their eyes light up when you talk about caregiving because it's relevant to you. For instance, if you've been a caregiver or if you relied on an adult child or a spouse, for instance, to provide care. So but greater supports for family caregivers is a big thing. I mentioned health care. And I'd say then a tie that binds that consistently comes up whether you're in Medicare or under the Medicare age, prescription drug costs. Wow. That comes up almost without fail every time. So the healthcare side is one thing. And then, of course, just, financial security certainly comes up too. But right now there's a lot of pressing interest on healthcare costs, prescription drug costs, and caregiving.
And is AARP advocating specific things in those areas?
Yeah, there's a couple things on caregiving. First of all, at the federal level, there's been some progress on starting the conversation that we need to do a better job of preparing and supporting family caregivers financially, for instance. There's a caregiving tax credit that's been introduced by a bipartisan bill introduced by Senator Ernst and Senator Warren, along with other Democrats and Republicans, tax credit for caregiving. Federally has been introduced. So that's on the financial side. And then at the state level, one of the things that we're seeking to join the other 39 states and territories who have a standard, if you will, of expectation that anyone who goes to a hospital before you're sent home, you have the opportunity as a family caregiver to receive instructions on any care you need to be providing. So,
and that's one of those, as we said in the very outset of this, Anthony, is one of those common sense solutions that I can't figure out for the life of me why we couldn't get state legislators to move on that during this session.
Well, I would just say legislation takes time, right? And even when it's the right thing, common sense thing, and Michael, by the way, the registration on that bill, there's no one that disagrees anymore now. There were some concerns. We worked out very gratefully with the providers to come to agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so, each side has perspective. But right now, there's no disagreement, and there's support well beyond AARP. But, even things that are, kind of easy, common sense things take time. That's the way the process works. And it's weird. I'm an impatient person, but this job teaches you patience and persistence too. So, we'll keep talking on it. We'll keep working on it. I've seen it with so many issues that take years to pass. This is one of those things that's taken more time than we'd like. But then, other things, power attorney improvements is something that took a much shorter amount of time, which can be more complicated. So sometimes you just never know, Michael.
Anthony, one of the curious things about all of this is we've covered a lot of ground in the past 12 or 13 minutes. But what I think is so critically important is that folks need to know that AARP isn't just out there fighting necessarily for everybody that's elderly. Yeah. These are all things that reach down, especially the caregiving thing, because you could be a 35-year-old taking care of your elderly grandparent, for example. And all of these things mesh in some way.
They absolutely do. You're right. And certainly, Social Security is another thing. Okay, people, not doesn't surprise you we're interested in Social Security, but when a part of our core message is it's a program that works, we want to make sure it's protected, not just for people receiving it, and keeping up with but future generations. Yeah. That's a big thing. I'll push back. I want to take this opportunity to push back. By the way, I'm younger. I'm a Gen X person, but you hear this notion that Social Security is not going to be there. Well, first of all, it's going to need to be there. It's actually one of the things I'm quite confident will be there, because the access to retirement savings, pensions is going the other way.
Right.
And already right now, interesting fact in Iowa, 30% of Iowans 65 plus, Social Security is basically their only income already.
Right.
And it's trending that way even more so. So I'm confident it will be there. Now, it doesn't just happen because we all say Social Security is great. It's going to require some action. So, I am optimistic on that, only because it's going to be, for some people, far too many people, it's going to be their only security. And the trending levels heading the direction that's going to be even more the case, not less the case.
Yes, it is. His name is Anthony Carroll, ladies and gentlemen. He's a farm kid from McGregor, of all places, and we've been talking to him about public policy issues as they relate to AARP getting out the vote, making sure that individuals understand the new voting procedures, and also talking about some issues of importance, not just to members of AARP, but I think to all Iowans. Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you, Michael.